Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Yud Aleph and Makos 11. We're back on daf Yud, and we're on Yud Amud Aleph. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. Okay. Ir Miklat is our discussion for today, as it will be for the course of today and tomorrow, and just a couple more days of Ari Miklat as we go through the second parak of Makos. Second parak of Makos is dedicated to the topic of Ritzicha v'Shogeg, inadvertent murder. And we've talked about the definition of what is shogeg, and now we talked about where the Ari Miklat are set up, and then we're going to go on to talk about running away to the Ir Miklat. So let's finish our discussion. We're in the middle of the Amud, on Yud Amud Aleph, and we are somewhere beyond halfway down the page. Let's start from Darsh Rav Simai. I said this yesterday, but we're in the middle of it. Darsh Rav Simai. It's about 20 lines from the bottom of the page. The first words in the line are Akash Baruch Hu Lamoshe, and you go to the end of the line, and you're going to see the words Darush Rav Simai. Darush Rav Simai Ma Dichsi, V'Kot HaPosuk in Koheles, in the fifth paragraph of Koheles, Ohev Kesef Lo Yispa Kesef. You love silver, you're not going to get enough of silver. Mi Ohev Behamon, and who loves a lot of abundance? Lo Tvua, he's not going to have any grain. Okay, so the simple pshat in the Pasuk in Koheles goes like this. You love a lot of money, you're just never going to be satisfied with the amount of money that you have. It's plain and simple. That's a simple pshat in the Koheles. The Gemara over here develops a deeper pshat. Oh, if kesef lo yis, but kesef zeh Moshe Rabbeinu. A reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, the word kesef over here is really going to be a code for mitzvos. Someone who loves doing mitzvos will never find enough mitzvos to do. He knew that when he sets up the three Ari Miklat in Avra Yardain, on the other side of the river, he knew that they were not going to be enforced, activated, until the three on the other side were set up. The Amar, but still he said, Mitzvah Shabalia di Akaimena. If there's a mitzvah that comes into my hands, I'm going to fill it. I'm going to take the opportunity to do the mitzvah. It's plain and simple. And now we go to the second part of the pasuk. Mi ohev behamon lo tvua, lemina lo mod behamon, mi shekol tvua shalom. Who's good at learning? Somebody who knows, right? This is where we ended off yesterday, right? If you know a lot, you're going to be good at learning, right? The someone who has tvua, someone who has grain. Right, Rashi writes, Shabaki b'mikra b'mishnah v'halachos v'agados. Somebody who knows Torah, Torah Shabbat, Torah Shabbat, so he's going to be good at learning. V'haynu d'amar Rav Elazar my dechsiv, miyam alel gvuras Hashem, yishmi kol tehilaso, pasuk in Tehillim, lemi na'el lemalel gvuras Hashem, who's good at speaking about gvuras Hashem, mi sheyachol la'ashmiel kol tehilaso, somebody could say over all the tehillah, all the praises of Hashem. Somebody who loves learning, lo tvua is going to have produce, is going to have yield. Yahavu be rabbanan einayhu be rava bere deraba. And when the Chachamim think about this teaching, then everyone collectively like turns and points to Rabba the son of Rabba. Rabba was a lover of learning, and as a result, he had tvua, he had grain, he had produce, and his produce turned into Rabba. Okay. Rav Ashi Amar, skip the parentheses of the simanim. Rav Ashi Amar, ko oiv lomod behamon, lo tvua, behind the dharma Rav Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, my dechsiv, cherv el abadim v'no alu. The Gemara now will go on for a little bit about learning by yourself. Learning by yourself is not a good thing, says the Gemara. In fact, it's destructive. Gemara is very strong about learning by yourself. Cherv al abadim v'no'alu. Cherv al tzavrei sonem shal tamidei chachamim. A sword should be on the neck of sonem shal tamidei chachamim. Euphemism. Does not mean the enemies of tamidei chachamim. It means tamidei chachamim, but the Gemara is speaking now in a disparaging way about Talmidei Chachamim, so the Gemara speaks euphemistically. It's a style that we're used to. She yoshvim ba'oskim b'torah bad bevad, when they sit and learn by themselves, they should have a sword on their neck. V'lo od ela shemet hafshin. Not only that, but they become tipesh, they become foolish. K'siv hacha v'no'alu, k'siv hasam asher no'alnu. We acted foolishly. Not only that, they become sinners. Okay. Another pasuk that shows that the word noel means to be foolish. Fine. There's an interesting aside. There's a little sefer written by Rav Baruch Epstein. Rav Baruch Epstein was a nephew of the Netziv, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, the author of the Emek Hadavar. So his nephew, who's the author of the Torah Tamima, Baruch Epstein, so he wrote a great little biography, right, which was translated to English. The English translation, the Hebrew, I think it's called Baruch Shamar. I think so. And Baruch Shamar. No, it's not Baruch Shamar.
Baruch Shamar is his book.
His Siddur.
Yeah.
Right, so what was it? I forgot what it was called in Hebrew. Anyway, so he wrote, I'll just say the story over quickly. He wrote a little biography about his uncle. They translated into English, and it's called My Uncle the Netziv. So originally published, it was just a translation, an English translation of the Sefer. It was put out, I think, by Lakewood, and now I'm on tape today, so I got to be careful about how I say this. But it was put out by Lakewood, and then they looked to get it back. Why? Because it said a number, right? The Baruch Epstein quoted his uncle saying a number of things which were not in line with the traditional yeshiva thinking. And so they called it back. One of the things that was written in it, right, what made it so controversial, a number of things made it very controversial. Number one, Rav Baruch Epstein writes about how his uncle loved reading the newspaper, the Yiddish newspaper, right, on Shabbos morning. That's number one. Number two is that it said how the Netziv says, you know how often, very often, they find contradictions within the Rambam, and they spend a lot of time in the yeshiva circles trying to answer up all these kashyas on the Rambam. So one of the things the Netziv was talking about was what the Rambam did is he learned by himself. And some of the mistakes that the Rambam made was as a result of the fact that he learned by himself, and he didn't study B'chavrusa, and he violated what we're reading right now in the Gemara. That Talmidei Chachamim who end up learning by themselves end up making these mistakes. And he says, and that's why you'll find contradictions in the Rambam. And there's no unifying, not always, right? I don't know if he spoke so in such strong terms, but there's not always a unifying answer to explain all the contradictions in the Rambam. And that's what he said about the Rambam. Again, right, then does not conform to traditional yeshiva thinking, and so therefore Lakewood asked to if we can have the books back.
All right. Here's you think they won't get to. Truth,
yeah, it's what it seems like. It seems like by learning by themselves, so they'll learn a mistake and no one will be there to check them and to correct them.
Is that applicable now that we have all these English foreign, missiles you shot them? And is that from Worcester too?
No, it's just a function of the fact that even when you're learning, and even when it's language friendly, but still you need somebody to check you. Yeah. Ravina Amar.
That you get
schus
for learning alone.
Right. No, that's right. In other words, it's not a vera to learn by yourself. In fact, it's a mitzvah to learn. But the Gemara is just emphasizing how important it is to learn b'chavrusa, with somebody, having somebody check you out. Ravina Amar Kol V'lomo Bama Lo Tvuah V'Hanu Dam Rabbi Harbei Torah Limadati Me Rabosai, famous Gemara. Very right. Everyone's familiar with this Gemara. I learned much Torah from my Rebbeim. Ume Chavare Yoster Meham. I learned even more Torah from my colleagues. Ume Talmida Yoster Mikulam. But I learned even the most from my Talmidim, from my students. Right. Having now the responsibility of teaching Torah, so that means that now you must know the Torah clearly enough so that you can explain it to others. So that now makes your Torah the clearest and the most understandable. I'm Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. My dichtiv amdos ayu raglen b'sharach Yerushalayim. Mi garam l'raglen shiyamdu b'melchama. What causes our legs to stand during melchama, during war? Shari Yerushalayim, the gates of Yerushalayim. Shayu oskim b'Torah, who are involved in the study of Torah. The study of Torah is protective, even over our soldiers. I'm Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. My dichtiv shiramal sadavid samachti ba'omim li b'es Hashem neilech. One of the psukim in Tehillim, we're familiar, right? The Samachti, I rejoice, Ba'omrim li Beis Hashem Melech, let's go to the Beis Hashem. Now remember, this is David HaMelech saying this, and David HaMelech didn't build the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, was told by Hashem, you can't build the Beis HaMikdash. Amar David lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, shamati b'nei Adam, shayu amrim ma'aseh yamo zaki, im zev yavo shlomo b'novi, yivne Beis HaBechira, v'na'ala l'rego v'samachti. So David says, I'm so happy when I hear people say, wow, I can't wait for David to die. I can't wait for Shlomo to come. Shlomo is going to build the Beit HaMikdash. We're going to go up and we're going to offer karbanos on the Beit HaMikdash, right? This is a classic theme throughout Tanakh, throughout specifically Navi, where we think it's better to offer karbanos. We have the Beit HaMikdash, we're going to offer karbanos. And here, Amalek Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu corrects David's thinking. And it's obviously very altruistic of David that he's prepared to, you know, okay, so I have to die. All right, so, but at least Shlomo will be able to build the Beit HaMikdash, right? It's obviously very giving of himself. But then the pasuk goes on, Ki tov yom bechatzarecha me'elef me'alef. And the Gemara now says, Pshat in the pasuk, tov li yom hachasha, tovusik betorah lefanai, me'elef olo sha'asi Shlomo bincha lahakri lefnei, lefanai agabe hamizbech. And God corrects David's thinking. No, the karbanos, that's nice. That's great. One day of your learning far exceeds and far makes me happier than 1,000 karbanos that are offered on the Mizbeach. Okay. And we go back to our Arim Miklat. So now we talked about the geographic location of the Arim Miklat, and then we talked about signs, postings. Where can you find the Arim Miklat? Tanya Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, we're on the top of Yud Amud Beis. Miklat Hayakosov al Parshas Derachim. Road signs. Right, so you need exit signs, right? This way to the Ir Miklat, you need actual signs that tell you how to get to the Ir Miklat. Miklat Hayakosov al Parshas Derachim Kedesh Shiakir Ratzeach V'Yifne L'Sham. So he knows which way to go. Amar Rav Kahana Maikra Tachin Lecha Derech Aseh Lecha Hachana L'Derech. Make preparations on the road. It seems to be that the simple pshat is not just road signs, but roads as well. Okay. Remember the Gemara in Megillah, like right around Daf Yud Yud Aleph. The Gemara over there talks about how when every one of the Amoraim would get up to darshan, so they would start off with like an introduction. When they start darshan the Megillah, they would introduce and they would quote psukim from all areas of Tanakh. And they would give like an introduction to their drasha. Here also, right before they got to the drashas of Ratzeach B'Shogeg, so they would give an introduction. So we're going to see a couple of introductions of drashas. So Rav Chana, Rav Chama Bar Chinana, Pasach Lepitzcha Leiparshas Ameacha, Tov Yashar Hashem, Al Kain Yorech Hatayim Baderech. God is righteous and just. Therefore, Al King Yorech Hatayim Baderech. Literally, I will show the way. I will. It could also mean arrows, right? I will shoot down the Chatayim on the journey. Im Chatayim Yorech Avachomer LeTzadikim. So, if Hakadosh Baruch Hu is righteous for the Chatayim, Hakadosh Baruch Hu certainly is going to be righteous for Tzadikim as well. Rav Shem Amalakish Pasuk LePitzchalai Parshas Meacha. He would give the following introduction: Vashelo Tzadav Alakim Inali Ado. He didn't hunt the guy down. It came as a result of God. This death, this wrongful death, came as a result of God. Kasher Yomar Mashal Kadmoni says in Sefer Shmuel, Shmuel Aleph Perek of Dalid, Kasher Yomar Mashal Kadmoni, Merishaim Yotza Rasha. From wicked people come Rasha, come wicked things. So Bameh Kaz Medaber, so now the Gemara is going to give us a fantastic analogy of how to understand why Ratzeach B'Shogeg ever happens. Shnei b'nei adam sh'arag was a nefesh echad harag b'shogeg v'echad harag b'mezid. Lazei neidim, lazei neidim. You have two murderers. One was an intentional murderer, right? And the other one was a Ratzeach B'Shogeg. Wrongful death. So you have two murderers and there were no witnesses, so nobody saw anything. So as far as the justice system down here is concerned, nothing was done because there were no witnesses. But here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes over. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mazminam lepundak echad. God orchestrates it so that they are now in the same hotel. The Zesh Arag b'mezid Yosef tachas asulam. The one who is Ratzeach B'Shogeg inadvertently kills. He's walking. Sorry. The one who kills b'mezid is under the ladder. The Zesh Arag b'Shogeg yorid b'sulam. And the one who is Ratzeach B'Shogeg, he's going down the ladder. Very carefully, the Gemara is talking now about the descent down the ladder, not the ascent, because remember, ascending up the ladder, that's not shogeg, right? That's ones. descending down the ladder. Now you're going in a downward motion. Gravity's going in a downward motion. You need to be very careful. And he wasn't. Yard b'sulam v'nafal Allah v'hargo. The guy, the rotsech b'shogeg, falls off the ladder as he's going down, lands on the rotsech b'mezid, kills the rotsech b'mezid, and now v'zesh harag b'mezid narag, v'zesh harag b'shogeg gola. And now Kadosh Baruch Hu orchestrates it so that everyone gets their just. The one under the ladder dies. The one who falls off the ladder now has to go into galus. So everyone, it all works out. Kadosh Baruch Hu has a system, or even though our justice system is limited, but Kadosh Baruch Hu, of course, is unlimited. Amar Rava bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Huna v'Amila, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Elazar min haTorah min haNevi'im min haKesuvim. We learn from all areas of Tanakh. B'derech she'adam rotzeh leilech, ba molich enoso. The direction you want to go, Kadosh Baruch Hu leads you in that direction, right? This is one of the main Gemaras that talk about Bechira Chafshis, that we can choose our path, and when we choose our path, Kadosh Baruch Hu will not deter us from doing so. In fact, sometimes He even assists us after we have made the choice. Min HaTorah Ksiv, where do we see it in the Torah? So we will see it. Lo Se'elechim Ahem, don't go with them. Shem says to Bilam, okay, I'm not interested in you going with them. Uksiv kum lechitam. And then after Bilam says, well, let me sleep over tonight, let me ask God again, maybe He'll say yes. Clearly Bilam wanted to go. So once Bilam showed an interest in going, so Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, go. Even though God previously said, don't go. So what did God do? Change His mind? No, of course not. He followed what Bilam wanted, because Bilam really made the choice. I am a Kadosh Baruch Hu Malam Decha, I teach you Lahol for your benefit. Madrichacha Baderech Telech. The way that you go, that's the way I'm going to lead you. Okay. Minaksuvim Dechsiv, and Pasuk and Mishlei Im Laleitzim Hu Yalit. If he hangs out with the jokers, he will become a joker. Vila anavim, if he hangs out with humble people, yitain chayin, he'll have favor in his eyes. Amar Rav Huna. Okay, good. A lot of agadata, lot of good stuff. And now we come back to a little bit of halacha. Rav Huna says, Rotzeach shegala le'ir miklat. Rotzeach who's walking to the ir miklat. Umatsu Gol Adam, and the Gol Adam finds him as he's running to the Ir Miklat, the Hargo, and he kills him, Pater. He's going to be exempt. Now, I'll tell you the truth, before Rav Huna said this halacha, I think we all thought that, right? You didn't think he needed Rav Huna to make such a bold statement, right? The whole point of the Ir Miklat in our baseball analogy is the Ir Miklat is the base, right? And once you're off base, right, you can get tagged out, but once you're on base, then you're fine. So, okay, lahavdil. So the Ir Miklat operates the same way. When you're out of the Ir Miklat, you're right, it's open season. When you're in the Ir Miklat, so you have sanctuary. And it doesn't seem like there's much of a chiddush in what Rav Huna is saying. So, as we will see through the Gemara now, not only is it a chiddush what Rav Huna is saying, but it's debated, and it's disputed, this very halacha. Kasavar, now, all this is really generated from a pasuk in Chumash, in terms of the nature of his chiddush. Okay. I'll read it to you. We're in Parsha Shoftim, we're in Perek Yutes, and once again in Shoftim, we have the Parsha of the Rotzeach B'Shogeg. I told you, the Torah spends a lot of time talking about Rotzeach B'Shogeg. In the Torah, it's a very popular topic. Comes up again and again. Okay? Shalosh Arim Tavdil Lach B'Sachar Tzecha, Asher Hashem Lokecha Nosen Lecha, Lirishta. Tachin Lecha HaDerech, right? These all should sound familiar, these Pesachim, we darshan them. You should prepare the way. V'Shalashta Zvuar Tzecha, Asher Yanchilcha Hashem Lokecha. And you should divide the land into thirds. We talked about that as well. V'Hayal Anu Shama Kol Rotzeach, and every murderer should run over there to the Ir Miklat. V'zedvar harotzeach, and this is a matter of rotzeach, asher yanus shama v'chai, asher yakeh ezre'ehu bivli da'as, he smote his friend without knowledge, v'hu lo sonelo mit moshosham, and he didn't hate him. Okay, and then we'll hold it. Sorry. Yeah. Pasuk Vav. Pen Yudov Goel Adam Acharei Rotzeach. Now we're talking about the pursuit of the Goel Hadam. Family member gets to chase him down. If the distance is too far, he's going to kill him. V'ikau nefesh v'lo ein mishpat mavis. Okay. And to him, there's no death sentence. Because he didn't hate him the previous day. Okay, there's a lot of pronouns and there's a lot of ambiguous pronouns. So what's, before we go through the Gemara, can we try to put a noun, a proper noun, to the pronouns over here? Right. Let's read the pasuk again. Pen yudof goel adam acharei rotzeach ki yecham levavo. Right. That's clearly talking about the goel adam. Right. He's going to be in hot pursuit of the rotzeach. V'sigo ki arba derech v'ikau nafesh. And if you don't prepare Ari Miklat, he's going to catch him and he's going to kill him. V'lo ein mishpat maves. Who is that talking about?
I'm
looking. The Pashup Velo Ain Mishpat Mavet.
He's talking about him.
The last one, Velo Ain Mishpat Mavet, and he doesn't have the death sentence.
Yeah,
he's like
killed somebody.
The simple shot. The Goel Hadam. Kilo Sonehu Lo Mit Moshul Shom. And that's who?
That would be the murderer.
Right. So then it sounds like
you have to repeat it. So now it's referring to.
Oh, but your argument is based on the fact that since we mentioned before, so therefore it's repetitive.
And also the subject, the sentence, pen your dove, goldama.
Right. Okay. All right. So it could go either way. The point that we're just fleshing out right now is it really can go either way. But you have to understand, though, it makes a huge difference which way we're going to go. If it's talking about the murderer, the rotzeach, so now we're going to read the pasuk like this: V'loin mishpat maves. He does not have a death sentence. Meaning, as long as he's running to the ir miklat, he doesn't have a death sentence. Because he did this b'shogeg, he didn't hate the guy. It wasn't intentional murder. So it wasn't premeditated. So therefore, he doesn't have a death sentence. That would mean, and this is now going against what Rav Huna is saying, is that as long as you're running to the ir miklat, you do not deserve to die. Okay? Even though, so in other words, as long as you're running to the to ir miklat, you also have the protection and the sanctuary of the ir miklat. That's one possible pshat. Rav Huna is obviously not saying that pshat. Rav Huna is saying a different pshat. V'loin mishpat maves is talking about the goel hadam. That if he commits murder, it's not murder. Because he has a right to take revenge against this guy who killed his family member. V'loin mishpat maves. Okay, so that's...
If you say the other way, that if you say the first shot, the goel adam, when is he going to kill him? If he can't do it while he runs away...
So if he just... So
What is his chance? If he leaves.
Correct.
Doesn't he have to go to ir miklat to get his status established first, whether it is whether
first?
His status at this point.
Right, his status right now is just murder.
But the thing is, Goel Hadam doesn't know whether this guy
right.
can be
killed. And I guess, that would be, if you are arguing with Rav Huna, that would fit into your argument very well. Okay, it's interesting. We're going to pass on like Rav Huna. The Gemara is going to present all the arguing positions. We're going to pass on like Rav Huna. But it's just interesting. You didn't think it was a chiddush, but now it kind of comes out that it is somewhat of a chiddush. All right, let's see all this inside. Okay, so again, I'm Rav Huna. Let's start again with Rav Huna's din. Rotzeach shegal al ir miklat umatzo goel adam v'hargo pater kasavar kasavar v'lo in mishpat mavet begoel adam hu dichsev. So he thinks, Rav Huna thinks, v'lo in mishpat mavet. That's modifying the Goel Hadam. That he doesn't have a Mishpat Maves. Meaning that if he kills, he's going to be off the hook. He won't have a death sentence. Meisvei, the Gemara is going to challenge based on a brisa. Veloin mishpat mavet berot steach hakasam medaber. Here the brisa goes right up against Rav Huna. And because the brisa says that the loin mishpat mavet is talking about the rotzeach. Ata omer berot steach, oinu ala begol adam, kishohu omer. And the Brisa says, and I know it's talking about the Rotzeach, because look at the context of the Pasuk. Look at the last phrase of the Pasuk, where it's talking about the Rotzeach. So since that last part is talking about the Rotzeach, must be that the phrase previous also is talking about the Rotzeach. Okay?
I mean, how do you know that that's...
You're right. I'm.
It could be that the Gola Dom never.
Fine. This Bryce is taking a very clear position. You're right. It's subject to a debate, but the Bryce over here is taking a position. So who now, what bothers the Gemara is that Rav Huna is going up against the Bryce. Rav Huna can't do that. He doesn't have the right to do that. He doesn't have the authority to do that. So who damer ki aitana? So the Gemara says good. So you'll see another. We're going to show you another brisa. And the brisa argues. The tanya v'loim mishpat mavis begol adam akasim medaber. So the brisa, there's another brisa that goes like Rav Huna, or to put it more accurately, Rav Huna goes like this brisa. Ata omer begol adam akasim medaber wein ola berotzeach kishu amr kilos on elohim in mal shosham hare rotzeach amur. Right, this brisa says we already are talking. The rotzeach was already dealt with; it's already handled. It's talking about the gol hadam. So you have a machlokus between brisos. Rav Huna takes a very clear position. He's of the opinion that when the Torah says v'loim mishpat mavet, it's talking about the gol hadam. That's Rav Huna's view. That's one brisa's view, and that means that as long as your rotzeach did not make it to the ir miklat, he's free game. It's open season on the rotzeach b'shogeg, and the goel hadam can go ahead and can kill him. And the goel hadam ain lo mishpat maves. He will not be put to death. He will have the right to do so. Tanan, the Gemara now will seek to get clarity on this issue. Most of Moshe Tamid Chachamim Shema Yargena Bederech V'Yidabru Elav. As this rotzeach is running to the ir miklat, so he's accompanied by two Talmid HaChamim. And the Talmid HaChamim, if in fact encountered by the Goel Hadam, will try to talk the Goel Hadam out of killing this guy. Now, my love, the Masrubay, the Kal Dabar Ketalu. So the Gemara makes an assumption, and really it's a question on Rav Huna. What are they saying? What are these two guys saying to the Goel Hadam? Presumably, and this is an assumption, they're saying to him, you can't kill him, you're not allowed to kill him, and if you kill him, you're going to be put to death. Okay, and if that's the correct shot, that's a question on Rav Huna. Well, the Gemara says no, that's not what they're saying. Kedetayim v'edabru alav dvarim haruyim lo omrim lo al tenagbo minag shofchei damim bishkaga. So they basically they give Musar. They say to the Goel Hadam, look, you do have the right to kill him, but don't be like that. Don't be like a Shofchei Dam. Don't be like the killer. Even though you have the right to kill, and it's, you know, and we understand revenge, and the Torah gives you the license to do so, but just don't behave like that. Back in the Mishnah, Rav Meir says he also tries to talk the Goel Hadam out of it. And here the Chachamim say back into Rav Meir. Why do the Chachamim disagree with Rav Meir? They say harbei shlichus oseh. The shliach accomplishes more than the principal party. The Talmid HaChachamim are just going to have an easier job talking the Goel Hadam out of killing than the Rotzeach himself. And you understand, it makes perfect sense. Right? The Rotzeach, regardless of what he says, they hate him. Right? He killed a family member. So it's going to be better, just more advantageous for the Shlichim to say something than him himself. Amamar. Bishkaga Bamas Aliyado. Pshita. Di Bemezid Bar Galazu. So the Gemara says, wait a second. One of the things that Talmid HaChachamim are going to say to the Goel Hadam is, it was an accident. He didn't do it on purpose. So the Gemara says, that's an argument? What do you mean? If he did it on purpose, he go to exile? But the answer is, yeah, he would. In. V'atani, we learned in the Braisa. It's interesting. I don't know why the Gemara quotes the Braisa. We learned it in our Mishnah, right? So the Braisa, I guess, gives us more perspective, or whatever. V'atani, we learned in the Braisa, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Omer, U'beizin shluchim anvin osam misham, Misha yitzchai misa hargush, and Amar v'shochu zikne rov lakhu osam misham, v'nas nosam v'yad gol adam u'meiz. So the one who's chayiv misa is going to be put to death. Mishalon is chayiv pachu. The person who is totally exempt is going to be off the hook. Shenemar v'tziluas eidas rotzech miad gol hadam. And mishin is chayiv galos machzir nosolim komo. Shenemar v'yeshiva so aidal ir miklato ashena shama. That is the opinion of Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. This is the exact opinion that we saw in our Mishnah. That everybody goes to the ir miklat. If you commit a murder, forget what degree of murder you committed. You committed murder, you run to the Ir Miklat, and then your position is ascertained. So it's fair for the Talmid HaChachamim to say to the Goel Adam, hold it, it was an accident. Don't kill him, because this guy who's running to the Ir Miklat did it by accident. Please don't kill him. Rebbe Omer, Me'atzman Hengolim. Rebbe disagrees. It's interesting. Rav Yehuda Nasi disagrees with Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, and meanwhile, when he codified the Mishnah, he didn't codify his own opinion, he codified the opinion of Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. We find that. We find that that happens on occasion. Rebbe's of the opinion that they think they need to go to the Ir Miklat, but it's not true. Only the shogeg goes to the Ir Miklat. Kisvur ne'echa shogeg ve'echad meizid koltos ve'heinen ne'yodim shebeshogeg koltos ve'meizid ena koltos. Okay? But it's not the pshat that everyone goes to the Ir Miklat. Amar Rav Elazar. Okay, more halachas about the Ir Miklat. Ir sheruba roschim ena koltos. A city that is made up, the majority of rotzeach, is not kolet. Now it's interesting, are we talking here about the 6 or are we talking about the 42? Now the Gemara is not clear, right? You'll remember that we learned yesterday that for the 42, those are optional Ari Miklat, right? In my mind, and it could be that I'm so wrong and so off on this, the 6 are objectively Ari Miklat, right? And never can lose a status. But, and this Gemara over here is talking about how an Ir Miklat can lose status if the majority of the occupancies are Rotzchim. So I'm unsure, although I'm going off on my own, I'm unsure if we're talking about the 6 or if we're talking about the 42. Okay. Right. Okay. Ir Sheruba Rotzchim Ena Kolto. Shenema V'diber Baz Nezik Ne'ayir Ahi Esther V'Rav. In Sefer Yoshua, in Perek Chaf, there are instructions for Yahushua to actually set up the Ir Miklat. In other words, there has to be non-murderers in that city. You need Zakenim in that city. If you don't have Zakenim in that city, it's not going to be collate. Yes, it's supposed to be. In theory, but if in practice it didn't work out that way, so then it won't work. Dibiin zikne yer veleka itmar yer shem bazikin rabbi ami rab asi chanamar koltos vechanamar ina koltos. Debate amongst the Amorayim. If you don't have zikinim, if you don't have elders in the town, is it kolate or is it not kolate? Subject to a debate. Laman damar ina koltos bein zikne yer veleka. Laman damar koltos mitzvah ba'alma. The one who says that the zikinim will not affect the status of the city, what does it mean, Zikne Ha'ir? It's better to have Zikne Ha'ir, but it's not a ma'akev. It doesn't take away the status. Ir Sheimba Zikainim, Rabbi Amiv Rabbi Asi Chanamar Nasababa Ben Sora Mora, Chanamar Inasababa Ben Sora Mora. Can you try a Ben Sora Mora in a city that does not have Zikainim? Same achlokas. Lamanda Aminasababa Ben Sora Mora de Bein, I'm sorry. There's a requirement of bringing the child to Ziknei Rav, and you don't have it, so therefore you're missing part of the process. You don't go through with the process. Mitzvah ba'alma. It's not ma'akev, it's not a necessary part of the process. One more of these. V'ir she'im ba'zikenim Rabbi Yamiv Rabbi Asa Charama Mevi'a Egla Rufa V'Charama Ina Mevi'a Egla Rufa. Did we go through the ceremony of Egla Arufa? Ziknei ir, is that a ma'akev or is it not a ma'akev? Say machlokas.
Well, Lama- Pasuk says it.
Right, so that's, again, so one opinion is going to be that's just a mitzvah. That's just the best thing to do. If you don't have zikanim, so you just get out the mayor. You know, just anyone. So, lamandam mevi'a egla rufa bina ziknei yira hahi v'leka. Lamandam mevi'a egla rufa mitzvah ba'alma. Fine. Amar Rabbi Chama bar Chinana mibnei manamra parshas rotskim b'loshon azah. When we get to parshas rotskim, in Sefer Yehoshua perkhaf, so the Torah speaks in very strong language. What's strong? Where do you see the strong language? Vayidaber Hashem el Yehoshua le'mor daber el b'nei Yisrael le'mor tenu lachem es arei hamiklat asher dibarti aleichem. Here in Perek Chaf of Sefer Yehoshua is the instructions of putting up the ear miklat. And you find the word vayidaber used twice every time you see the word vayidaber. It's lashon azat strong. Emor is soft. Daber is strong. The Gemara makes this point very clear. And the Gemara says, and why? Because this was already instructed in the Torah. So Yehoshua is not hearing this for the first time. Yehoshua is getting this as just. You know what you learned in the Torah? Do it. You heard it already. The Gemara says, yes, Dibor is Lashon Kasha. Yechsev Daber Aisha Adonai Haaretz Itanu Kashos. Right, when the brothers go back to Yaakov, they said, he spoke to us Kashos, he spoke to us very strong. And the verb that's used is Diber Haish Adonai Itanu. He spoke to us, very strong words. So you see the word Daber is strong. V'atanya Nidberu Ein Nidberu El Lashon Nachas V'chenu Omer Yadber Amim Tachteinu. So here now we get to a little bit of grammar. Yeah, this is Lashon Nif'al, passive. So when you could take a verb, you could turn it passive, and then it makes it a strong verb to a softer verb. Daber Lachud and Yadber Lachud. And the Gemara makes this very clear, that a shift in tense will take a verb and make it strong into soft. Pligi ba Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan Charama Mimesha Shiem v'Charama Mimesha in Shel Torah. Why did, when God gave instructions to Yehoshua about setting up the Ir Miklat, why did he speak to him so strong? So one pshat is that he delayed. Yehoshua delayed. Another pshat is because it's already mentioned in the Torah. V'yichtov Yehoshua Zedvei Ma'ila B'Sefer Torahs Elokim. And Yehoshua wrote these things B'Sefer Torahs Elokim. What did Yehoshua write in Sefer Torah Selokim? So, Pligi bar Rabbi Yehuda bar Nechemi Charama Shmona Psukim v'Charamar Arei Miklat. So, one position is that he wrote Shmona Psukim. Menachos Daf Lamed, the Gemara over there brings down a machlokas. Who was the author of the last eight Psukim of Chumash? See there for that debate. So, one opinion over here corresponds to one opinion over there that the last eight Psukim were written by Yehoshua. Another opinion is Ari Miklat. Bishlam Alamanda Mechep Psukim Hanidichse B'Sefer Torah Selokim. Alamanda Amar Ari Miklat. In other words, not the Ari Miklat. Oh, to be clear, not the Ari Miklat mentioned in Chumash, but the Ir Miklat mentioned in Perek Chaf of Sefer Yehoshua. That's what is referred to at the end of Sefer Yehoshua. My B'Sefer Torah Selokim Achi Kamar. By Yechtov Yehoshua B'Sifro, Yehoshua wrote in his Sefer. What we find in Chumash, and that is the Ir Miklat. Sefer, okay. One last little bit of halacha, and then we're going to move on to the next Mishnah. Sefer, Shetafru Bipishtan. What if you have a sefer that was sewed together with flax? Now the halacha is, and we'll see, that this is the accepted halacha psuka, is that when you stitch a sefer Torah together, you have to do it with sinew. You have to use part of the animal to stitch it together. What if you stitch it together with flax? Sefer Shetafru Bipishtan Pligi Bar Rav Yudav Rav Meir Charamar Kashav Charamar Pasol. Okay? Machlokis between the Tanayim. Laman Darmar Pasol Dechsev Laman Tiyat Torah Hashem Bificha. The Torah Hashem has to be in your mouth. Now the simple pshat of course is that you have to be saying over the Torah all the time. Itish kol Torah kol tefillin. Ma tefillin halacha mashi mitzina l'tofer megidin as kol af kol l'tofer megidin. By tefillin, we know halacha l'moshi mitzinai that when you stitch together the parshios and tefillin, they have to be stitched together with sinews. So too, all the Torah has to be stitched together with sinews. That is the opinion of one of these Tanayim. We don't know which one. It's the opinion of one of these Tanayim. So therefore, consequently, if you stitch together, say, for Torah using linen, it's no good. The idach itkish lamuta beficha leuchosav lo itkish. And then the other one will say, yeah, there's a hekesh, but the hekesh is only if you're going to use sinew, you have to use it from a kosher animal. Okay, that's it. But as far as the other halachas are concerned, that we don't say. In other words, if you want to use something else, some other binder, you can use another binder. Amar Rav Chazina lo tefillin de bei Chavibi. Rav saw the tefillin of his uncle. His uncle, of course, is Rav Chia. He calls him Chavibi. We've seen this before, recently. And when he stitched his tefillin together, he used linen. The tafri be kisna. He used kisna, he used linen. Veleis hilchasa kavase, but that's not the halacha. The halacha, says the Gemara, is to stitch it together with sinew. Okay. Fine. Now we go to one of the more interesting halachas that we find regarding Eir Miklat. When do you get out? When are you getting out of the Eir Miklat? So the death of the Kohen Gadol. Okay. Why? So the Gemara is going to discuss that a little bit later on. The question that the Mishnah is going to deal with is which Kohen Gadol? There's a lot to choose from. I mean, you think it's only one Kohen Gadol out there. It's not true. Echad, Meshuach B'Shem Na'Mishcha. First of all, how was he inaugurated? The inauguration of the Kohen Gadol. There was this anointing oil that we had for a good part of our history, up until, I think, King Yoshio, right? King Yoshio took a number of things and he tucked it away, so we no longer had the anointing oil. But up until a point in time, he was anointed with oil. Meshuach b'shemen ha-mishcha. And that was the classic, and I guess the best way to anoint the Kohen Gadol, using the Shemen HaMishcha, the anointing oil. They would dab some on his head. They did the same thing with the king as well, when they had this anointing oil. Okay? After the anointing oil was no longer around, so how would he inaugurate the Kohen Gadol? By him wearing his special begadim. A regular Kohen would only wear 4 begadim. Kohen Gadol would wear 8 begadim. So that is called the Kohen that is anointed with merubah begadim, extra clothing. When we get to the Horios Gemaras will talk about there are differences in halacha between the Kohen Gadol that's anointed with oil versus the Kohen Gadol that's anointed with just the wearing of the begadim. There are differences, but not here. Here there's not going to be a difference. Either way, he is the Kohen Gadol, regardless of how he was inaugurated. His death would allow the release of the Ritzach B'Shogeg. Echad she'avra mimashicha so. Or let's say you had a Kohen Gadol for one day. Right? When we learned Yuma, we learned that we put in a deputy Kohen Gadol, a Sgan, and that if something happens to the Kohen Gadol, so he's going to be the replacement Kohen Gadol. When I say something happened to the Kohen Gadol, I mean simply, he became Tamei. And so he couldn't serve in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. So you have someone come in, someone, his replacement, come in. Now his replacement takes over. When the Kohen Gadol, the original one, is back, you know, back and better than ever. So now we say to the substitute, thank you so much. Okay, and we have him step back down. But he still has status as Kohen Gadol. Even though he's no longer employed as a Kohen Gadol, but he still has the status of the Kohen Gadol. His death also will result in the release of the of the Rotschim. The I guess. Right, Machzir Nes Rotsach. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda is going to add one more to the list. So far we have a list of 3 Kohen Gadols. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda would like to add one more. The Meshuach Melchama. As they go into war, we find in Parsha Shoftim. So you're going to have a Kohen Meshuach Melchama. He also is a chief Kohen, but he's chief Kohen of the army. Before they go into war, he takes a look at everybody and he says to everybody, okay, be strong, right? Be courageous. And Machzer Sarotzech, according to Rav Yehuda, when he dies, also the release of the Rotzchim from the Ir Miklat. Lefichach. That's one of the best lines in the Mishnah. Im Roseim Shel Kohanim Maspekos Lahem Michya Uksus Kidei Shelo Yispalo Abaneim Shemuso. The Kohen Gadol's mother visits the Ir Miklat on a regular basis, brings cookies, brings milk. The Mishnah doesn't say that. I can't think of a better imagery. And brings clothing to all the Rotzchim, so to pacify, to assuage, and to ask them, please pray on behalf of my son. Okay. We'll talk more about that later on in the Gemara. Minah Hanimili Amarafkana Damakra. Okay, Minah Hanimili, the Gemara is asking over here, how do I know about the three Kohanim, three Kohen Gadols, right? How do I know the death of the three Kohen Gadols? You could have assumed that it's only the death of the acting Kohen Gadol, not the deputy Kohen Gadol who once took the place of the Kohen Gadol, not the Kohen Meshuch Bemeruba Begadim. How do I know that we are going to talk about all these different types? Damakrava Yeshaba Ad Mos Kohen Gadol. Uksiv ki bi'ir miklato yeshiv ad mos kohen agadol. Uksiv v'achrei meis kohen agadol. On three different occasions in Chumash we find the death of the kohen gadol. So we're going to categorize three different kohen gadols. Rav Yehuda. Now what about Rav Yehuda who adds a fourth to the category? Uksiv krachrin ala shuv l'shevetz beretz ad mos ha-kohen. He finds a fourth pasuk. Why does the Tanakhama not like that fourth pasuk? The idach melok siv hagadol, because it doesn't say kohen gadol. Okay, chad mehanachu. Therefore, it must be referring to one of the ones that were already mentioned. Lefichachim osem shal kohanim tamid delo matzlo hamatzlo maisi. If they were to pray for the death of the kohen gadol is going to die, right? The Gemara says, is that really true? And the Gemara says, "Va'atziv kitzipor lanud kederech lo'ov ken kilas chinam." A kilas chinam, a curse that comes for no good reason, is like a bird flying in the air. There's nothing to it. It doesn't stand on the ground. There's no legs behind it. Forget about it. Lo'ov ki kilas chinam lo sava. Period. Ha'hu sava mipirkei derav shmiel le'shayalem levakish rachamim al daran v'lo bikshu. No. It's not kilas chinam. The Kohen Gadol does have liability. Because what he should have done is he should have prayed on behalf of the Jewish people, and he did not pray. Therefore, the Kohen Gadol does have liability. The Rotzech B'Shogeg is part responsibility falls on the shoulder of the Kohen Gadol, and that's why when those Rotzechim are sitting in the Ir Miklat and they're praying for the death of the Kohen Gadol, it's not kilas chinam. It's not for naught. Now, the second version over here, it's essentially the same. There's a subtle difference between this version and the previous version. And that is, they pray that there's, they ask the Rotzchim to pray that their son does not die. In this version, it's like the default position is this Kohen Gadol is doomed to die. And they're asking, she's asking, mom's asking, all the murderers, please pray that my son not die. Time of the matzah, on the matzah, maisi. So here, it's going to turn into the same discussion. It's just that it's the death is more impending. It's like if they don't pray that he live, he's going to die. So there are different expressions to how to express the question. But the question goes like this. Tuvia sinned, and Zivug is going to get lashes? In other words, it doesn't seem fair. Why should the Kohen Gadol die? He wasn't the Rotzeach. Hasam Amri, in Eretz Yisrael, it's the same expression, but different people. Shchem Nasiv, Umagbai, Gazir, Shechem is going to marry Dina. And Magbai, one of the members of the city, he's going to get a circumcision. Right? Like, in other words, I'm not benefiting. I'm not marrying Dina. So I should get a circumcision. So, and meanwhile, by the way, they all did. So, right? You understand the point. It's just you know, historically not didn't work out.
The benefit was they also had to do a digger
circumcision. I understand that, but at that point in time, right, it was only Shechem who was going to get married. You're right. Amar u'saba mipirkei derava shmi elisha yalam levakish rachem el daram v'lo bikshu. But it comes to the same point. Yes, the Kohen Gadol has liability. He should have prayed for the generation. He did not. Someone was eaten by a lion three parses away from Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Eliyahu did not visit Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi for 3 days. What did Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi do? Same thing. Needs to be more conscious and cognizant of the people living around him. Should have prayed on behalf of them. A curse, even if it comes for no reason, but it comes from a chacham, you got to take him seriously. So we'll go through the Achitofel story and we'll finish for today. David is digging up the foundation for the Beis HaMikdash, right? Second time we mentioned this today. David did not build the Beis HaMikdash, but did everything in his power to set the foundation, even dig up the foundation, so that Shlomo would know exactly where to build the Beis HaMikdash. As he dug it up, so he hit a pipe, right? A natural pipe, and water was gushing up, and wanted to flood the entire world. Amar, so now he turns to Achitofel, his Rebbe. We talked about this in the 11th parak of Sanhedrin. Achitofel was the Rebbe of David HaMelech. Amar, Malach Tov Shem Achas Ba Mishte B'Tahoma. Deleku Aduchte. So the question is, can I write the name of God on a piece of paper? Can I throw that piece of paper into the water so that the water would recede? Now, how he knew that would work, I'm not sure. But the question is a question of erasing the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Can I do that? So aduch the legged amale midi.
Should do that with the oil now.
Legged amale midi. So nobody said anything. Amar kol yodeh davar zevin amar yechanek begrono. Whoever doesn't say anything right now, whoever's quiet and he knows the answer, I'm going to choke him. Nasa Achitofel chal kal vachomer ba'atzmo. So Achitofel now develops a halachic kal vachomer. Amar. Just to create peace between husband and wife, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us license to take his name and to put it in water. Of course, he's referring to the Sota. To create peace and life in the world. You don't think it's okay to erase the name of God? So Achitofel turns to David HaMelech and he says it's mutter. Kasa Shema Chasba. He writes the name on a piece, on earthenware. Shade at Tahoma. Throws it into the Tahoma, into the depth. Nachas v'kama duchte. And the water recedes. Okay? Now, David curses. Now, he doesn't curse Achitofel. And Achitofel did exactly what he was supposed to do, and that is say over the halacha. But still, the curse did not go away. Achitofel knew that the rebellion of Avshalom wasn't going to work out. And he goes home and he chokes himself. And that's what David HaMelech said, that anyone who doesn't say that, Yechanek Begrono will be choked. And it turns out Achitofel fulfilled the curse of David HaMelech, and he choked himself.
That's the first case of suicide.
I told you, the trivia. Four suicides in Tanakh, corresponding to the four Dalamisas based in. Right?
We will. What was the point of the story about the...
That Kilalas Chacham, the curse of...
No, that was the last thing.
No, that's the point. That's all point. He didn't say over the halacha. Achitofel didn't say over the halacha to begin with. And David said, David then threatened, whoever doesn't say the halacha will be choked. And then Achitofel says over the halacha, but still, it's kilalas chacham, and therefore Achitofel ended up getting choked.
He choked himself under different circumstances.
Correct, but the Gemara attributes it to the curse of David HaMelech. Okay, we'll stop over here. Okay.